So the name of my sermon this morning is Impossible Mission. Let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Bruce. You have been called to this place, and before you, you see a package, perhaps a book, and you open it to discover your impossible mission. So this morning, we are going to be focusing on God's actions in Jesus, the high priest who has lived among us, who understands us, who has nothing but compassion for us. And we're going to start this impossible mission by looking at verse 12. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates, it divides, and it judges. But the focus is on Jesus as the word of God and what Jesus does, and reminding us again and again, Jesus is the high priest. He's the one making sacrifice for the sins of the people. But, never forget this. Jesus is the same flesh and blood as we, who he represents, and we who he makes holy. And this is exactly what the followers of Jesus needed to hear when this gospel, when this book was written somewhere around 70 years after the birth of Jesus. But it's also the words that we need to hear today. I was talking to a member before church, and she was saying, oh gosh, we have these troubles and these troubles and these troubles and these troubles. Yeah, these are the words we need to hear, that the word of God is alive and active. And we have a representative in Jesus that knows us and loves us. Verse 13 in our scripture this morning, nothing in all creation is hidden. Remember last week when we read chapters 1 and 2 in Hebrews, I said it was connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament? Well, nothing in all creation is hidden refers back to Psalm 139, where the psalmist says, you discern my thoughts from far away. Where can I flee from your presence? What Hebrews is doing is reminding us again and again and again that God's word, God's presence is living, piercing, and restoring, living, piercing, and restoring. So, dear God, please come into my mind and heart this morning. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the wonder, beauty of your scripture, lift up this your beloved congregation here and online, that these words may change their lives, lift their burdens, and connect them more closely to you and your loving, penetrating, and active word in their lives. Amen. Bruce. So let's talk. Okay, I could listen to that all day, but let's talk about several impossible missions that Jesus came into this world and accomplished and allows us to accomplish now. The first impossible mission is the incarnation of Jesus. This incarnation of Jesus was completely mind-boggling. Now, we say the word incarnation of Jesus, and we know what it means, but at the time, it was beyond people's ability to comprehend. The disciples of Jesus never really got it. The disciples of Jesus were in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. A storm came up. Jesus was with him, God made man, and yet they panicked. because they did not understand who he really was. But because of the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus knows us, sees us, feels us, and thus he loves us. I can't tell you the number of times in our 38-year marriage that Sarah and I have been talking, and Sarah was talking to me about something of great importance to her, and after a bit, she would say, "Are you hearing me?" Because I was being my guy self and trying to solve the problem, and Sarah was being her Sarah self and trying to express the problem. We don't have to worry about that about Jesus, because he's there, and he is hearing us. And the thing about the incarnation is Jesus is not pretending to be human. And I say this because if we were sitting here 1,700 years ago, your pastor might have said to you, "Well, really, the thing about the incarnation is Jesus put on a human suit. You know, he went into his heavenly closet, he took out his human suit, that would be next to the Superman suit and in front of the Batman suit, and he put it on and came to earth in his human suit." That's not the incarnation. He didn't put on his humanity, he fully entered into his humanity, and because of that, he can fully enter into every aspect of every problem, of every joy, of every sorrow, of every way we mess up in our lives. Verse 15, it said it beautifully. "For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has in every respect been tested as we have been tested." Reverend Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a theologian in Germany in World War II. He was executed by Adolf Hitler. But he said these words, "Jesus allowed himself to be edged out of the world and onto the cross. Jesus is weak and powerless in this world, and that is exactly the way that he can help us. Jesus knows what it means to be weak and powerless, to be frustrated, to be tired, to feel pain, and that is how he can help us." So that was the first impossible mission that Jesus did, and we are able to benefit. Bruce. Second impossible mission that Jesus came to earth that benefits us is the empathy of Jesus. And I say this because the time of Jesus, empathy did not mean what it does today. In the time of Jesus, the Greeks and Romans were convinced that there was no possibility of empathy between gods and humans. Nope, never going to happen. You see, empathy is really listening and hearing and putting yourself in another person's shoes and believing another person's story. I'm not going to refer to the situation with Sarah. I'm just going to leave it at that. But I'm learning, okay? I mean, give me a break. But empathy is Jesus, God's word as living, piercing, and restoring. You see, Jesus was able to heal people. Why? Because he was God? No. Well, okay, maybe. But Jesus did never heal a group of people. You know, when he fed the 5,000, I'm sure there were people there that were sick and needy of healing. But never in his life did Jesus stand in front of a crowd and use his God powers to say, "You're healed." Every healing that Jesus did was personal. It was personal. It was piercing into that person's body and soul. It was restoring that person's body and soul because of the empathy that Jesus had. The impossible mission that Jesus came into this world and accomplished was living and piercing and restoring as a divinity into a human being. And that is important because that leads us into the third impossible mission of Jesus. Would it have been great if when Jesus was born and the angels were singing, they were playing this music? Would have been great. The third impossible mission of Jesus is his death on the cross. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross? Can somebody tell me? To what?
Take away our sins.
So Jesus gave his life, died on the cross, take away our sins. Yeah, I mean, you've all learned that. You've heard it in Sunday school. I don't think so. Now, I may disagree with that, okay? And this idea, and I learned this. Jesus died on the cross to redeem us, to take away our sins. That's what's called the penal substitution theory. And that theory, penal, comes from like penal, penalty, penal system. It means that Jesus had to die in order for us to be saved. And what I have trouble with is that if you follow that reasoning, that meant that the Father, Creator, loving God felt so bad about Adam and Eve's sin that he was looking to just, you know, somebody's got to pay something for this. Now, I'm assuming that in heaven, he didn't have a pillow to punch. Maybe he did. So the next best thing was sending his son in the world to die on the cross, right? It just is an odd image of a loving God to send his son for a terrible death on the cross. Now, I'm not saying that you need to not believe that. I just want to give you a perspective. You see, here's what happened. Jesus came into this world, and he totally reversed everything people were expecting. They were expecting for thousands of years a Messiah king, conqueror. And what did they get? They got a Messiah humble servant. Oops. And that was the clue. Jesus was born in a stable. That was the clue. Jesus came into this world and he said, okay, people, let's reverse this. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about the insignificant greatness of Jesus? That's totally reversing the world's ideas about greatness and punishment. Jesus said, we need to forgive not once, but 70 times 7. Jesus preached, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Jesus talked to a woman, Samaritan woman, at a well. She was an unmarried woman, had been married 5 times, was living with her 6th boyfriend, and Jesus, a rabbi, came up to her, talked to her, and forgave her. Jesus came into this world to show us that the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of the world. And he wanted to reverse the world's ideas of social order and justice and forgiveness and punishment. And how do you think the people that were in charge of all those things felt? They didn't like it. They didn't like it. So I just want you to consider, maybe Jesus did not die for our sins in order for God to forgive us. But if you want to hold on to that, that's fine. Just consider, perhaps Jesus had to die because he came into this world to declare the forgiveness of sins by reversing the way the world thought about punishment, retribution, forgiveness. Maybe Jesus died because he offered the radical grace of God to everyone. Everyone. You know, the sympathetic high priest that's talked about, the high priest at the time did not care about the people. The high priest's job was to be in the temple, deal with the rich people, not the regular people. And yet Jesus came in and offered the radical grace of God to everyone. Reverend David Luce talks about this. Listen to these words. And I just want you to consider his words. The cross was not the vehicle by which Jesus made it possible for God to love us. I'm taking that as a divine affirmation. But rather, the cross was God's message through Jesus that we were and are loved. We were and are loved. The cross, God's word, was in this world living and piercing and restoring. At the time of John Wesley, the Anglican clergy had this idea that if you were poor, God wasn't that interested in you. Probably you weren't going to be loved, forgiven, redeemed, saved, whatever. Yeah, just whatever. And God came into this world to show us that we were and are loved. Which brings us to the last of these impossible missions of Jesus. Approaching the throne of grace. Impossible mission. You see, back then, the throne of God was considered to be in the Holy of Holies in the temple. It was a very small space that was totally enclosed, no windows, just a curtain. No one could go in except once a year. And before the high priest went in, he had to light incense, and he had to have incense burning in front of his face so the smoke would cloud his vision from what he saw in the Holy of Holies. But what Hebrews is reminding us, in every chapter in Hebrews, it's reminding us that we, hello, can approach God's throne of grace. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was made of gold. Doesn't matter. We can approach God's throne of grace with boldness, even though we are human, and even though we sin, and even though we are messy. If you are a felon, and you are convicted, even though you serve your time in prison, that still follows you around. Employers look at your record. If you want to vote, depending on your state, you may never be able to vote again. But look at the action of God. God takes everything we do and just makes it whole. He pierces us and he restores us so we can approach his throne with boldness. And so, in Hebrews last week, chapter 2, verse 11, I said these words. They are so true. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. And so, Reverend Samuel Zumwalt sums up everything I've been saying today. His words, when we have been humbled, when we have come with contrite hearts, then at last, we are ready to receive what God has always wanted us to have, himself on the throne of grace. Perhaps Jesus came into this world because God always wanted us to have Jesus as a human being so we could know that we as humans had a high priest in heaven that was blessing us and loving us. Verse 16 in our text this morning, I have the New International Version in the bulletin, but listen to the words in the Passion Translation. So now we come freely and boldly where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss, and to discover the grace we urgently need. For now and for decades. So, well, what a surprise. Okay. You see, the first five times that was played, it was Mission Impossible. But Jesus comes into our world and shows us that the mission is possible. Because with Jesus, we can boldly and humbly and gratefully approach God's throne of grace, knowing, take these words home with you in your heart. Irenaeus, who was a first century bishop, said this: Jesus became what we are in order that we might become what he is. Jesus became what we are so we might become what he is. Jesus is our mission possible. Jesus is God's word, living and piercing and restoring us in a mission possible so we can approach God's throne of grace and love as often as we need it, over and over and over again. And we give thanks for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.